Team with the most points plays the team with the least points, so that would be the Vegas-Montreal part, and then the two middle teams would play each other. That would be the Tampa Bay Islanders matchup, and it'll all start for you on Sunday afternoon, so no hockey for the next couple of nights. Sunday afternoon, Tampa, the Islanders, 3 o'clock, by the way, the face-off for that, and then Montreal will travel west starting, well, either tomorrow, I guess, or maybe Sunday, but game one of their series will begin on Monday night at 9 o'clock out in Vegas. And, of course, I'd love to go, well, regular season, these two teams, but we had no regular season games between these two teams.
Yeah, it's like NFL football or playoffs, Cher. You have that, no play, kind of college football, and think to the regular season. Overall standings in the National Hockey League, the Montreal Canadiens finished with the 18th best record, JR. How we look at the divisions, I guess you can, but 59 points. For as stinky as the Philadelphia Flyers were and how much I talked about they sucked, they finished with 58 points. So it's amazing where Montreal's gone. The story's changed. And also really interesting to hear Craig Button this morning. He was certainly people chasing him down for saying they'd get swept by the Leafs. He's not quite there yet, but he's pretty darn close to picking Montreal to beat Vegas in the next series. Oh, yeah. He was pretty bold on the matchup. So that was it's interesting to kind of talk to people where this is headed.
Well, he did get burned a little bit in the opening round when he proclaimed the Canadiens would not win a game against the Toronto Maple Leafs. So now it's a little bit about face.
Yeah, and he's actually technically a Montreal guy. I mean, they pretty much the whole Button family grew up in the Montreal area. So deep down, probably a Montreal Canadiens fan as well.
I know we have our web poll question up, which is essentially asking people's predictions of which two teams are going to get through to the Stanley Cup final. I think maybe another interesting discussion point for people is, like, who are you cheering for at this point? And whether it's a team or an individual, or are you cheering against a team or an individual? Because as we all know, especially as Canadian hockey fans, it's really as much about teams that or players that you don't want to win as it is about especially if your favorite team is no longer involved.
Okay.
So let's say your average Ottawa Senator fan that may not like the Montreal Canadiens, maybe cheering for any team that plays. My favorite team is the team that's playing the team I hate the most, which is could be potentially Montreal. So that would be another interesting discussion point. We talked about the fact, of course, Vegas, Mark Stone, the former Sen, is the captain there. A lot of people love Mark Stone. A lot of people love J.G. Pageau. Of course, he's on the island now. I don't know about a Tampa Bay. You know, Tampa feels like, hey, guys, you got your just rewards last year.
Yeah.
You're coming back for seconds now. Just hold on there, cowboy. So
they're tough to dislike, though. And, you know, I think emotionally, Paquette and Coburn, if they were still there, a lot of Sens fans really tied to them. Where are they now? Paquette, I guess, was in Carolina.
Yes.
Where the hell did Coburn go again?
He went to, he's on the island, I believe.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
And,
seventh defenseman.
Gabranson was in Nashville.
So I
think the but what's also, I think, for as much as you like Stone, you've pointed out, I mean, God, Pageau is kind of right there to this series, though. And as I said, I think it's really sexy and fun that the Montreal Canadiens are playing Vegas. I haven't figured out yet who I'm cheering for. I think I'm leaning towards Montreal, but I'll say this from an Ottawa perspective. When you had the Hamburglar run, Mark Stone was playing incredible, JR. We go to Montreal. There's that opening game, PK Subban with the slash. He was never the same player, and I think deep down I almost feel like there's some unfinished business. I know the whole story in Montreal is going to be about Pacioretty returning and that whole angle, but I think for Mark Stone, man, oh man, that was taken away from him, and as he always does, it's going to be really fun to watch him both at a distance and when they come here to Montreal for games 3 and 4 Friday and Sunday of next week.
Is Mark Stone thinking about that series, or is he thinking about 2 years ago against San Jose?
Yeah, that's a good point.
They had a 3-0 lead in game 7 and then the phantom call and the huge comeback and eventual loss. I think that's the one where you're so close that has to eat at you.
Well, and also to that, JR, there is no doubt from a Vegas standpoint, you are not looking past the Montreal Canadiens, but would you agree that based on the way this team has been built, this would be considered to be a major failure if they lose to the Montreal Canadiens in the semifinals?
Well, it's a team that's built to win now.
Exactly. So I think it's going to be a good matchup, but they're looking and saying, okay, this team is built. Our own only goal and our only thing, and part of you might pray a little bit the Islanders knock off Tampa, but if it's Tampa, it's Tampa. Hey, we got an opportunity here to return to the final. Like, that is incredible when you think about it, right? Losing to Washington, losing in the semifinal to Winnipeg, which I think was Winnipeg lost to them. Sorry, that was a huge loss for Winnipeg. You know, what they've been able to do really is unparalleled in sports. So, hey, that's the goal. And I got to think they look and say, okay, let's get the Montreal Canadiens done here. And we got to try to win this, finally bring the Stanley Cup home.
Our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question is, who will play in the Stanley Cup final? And we just put this up, so we've got a couple of hundred votes that are in already. And as you can well imagine, it is overwhelmingly in one direction, and that would be the two teams that are the betting favorites to get through, the two best teams in the regular season of the teams that are left. That would be Vegas, of course, and Tampa Bay right now have 63% of the votes. Second most likely matchup in the final, according to your votes early on, Islanders and Golden Knights.
Wow,
that one gets 21%. Then it's Montreal and the Islanders at 13%, and only 3% of people are expecting Tampa Bay and Montreal to play in the Stanley Cup final. We welcome your votes at tsn1200.ca.
I'll ask you, JR, what would you consider to be the bigger upset? Montreal knocking off Vegas or the Islanders knocking off Tampa Bay?
Oh, Montreal for me.
Would you?
Yeah.
I'll say the opposite, but it's darn close for sure. I look at Tampa Bay. Yeah, it's funny because I look at Tampa Bay's firepower and the way they're built down the middle. And I know I'm respectful of the Islanders tactically, but I do look at Vegas's middle and I look at Montreal. Yeah, for me, I'm actually the opposite, but not by a lot. I think both of them would be considered to be pretty big upsets.
All right, we might as well get our predictions out of the way now.
Okay.
So let's wrap up last round, which was pretty forgettable. I was 1-3. Simmer, you were 1-3. Yeah. Hammer, 2-2.
Yeah.
Put
You're
it on the board.
High man on the show. So as we go into the semifinals of the Pico Pizza Cup, and again, the champion will get their own a delicious home-delivered Pico Pizza night. Simmer leads the way at 11 points. Hammer, you have 9, is that right?
Yes, sir.
And I have 8.
Yeah.
We've been going 1 point per win and 1 point if you get the correct number of games and it's the winning team, of course, as we normally do. We double up as we get toward the end.
But we're keeping it this way, right?
So
this is how we're keeping it,
so
right?
So 2 points.
We're not adding any extra scoring, correct?
No, we're doubling up as we normally do.
Whoa. We did not add any scoring to the second round, which I was extremely successful at. So unless you are going to increase round 2, we're not increasing round 3.
Why would we double up in round 2? We would double up after it's half over. That's the way it's always done. Come on.
And Hammer, I got to be
so frustrating.
No, but I also feel for you, Hammer. That actually helps you.
It doesn't. It helps me to get more points now because I got 2 correct that you guys did not.
All right. And what we should do, Jer, have me pick first.
Yes.
And then you guys can relate off that because I want to have some fun. But I Hammer, I'm fine with doubling the points because I'm going to be a somewhat bold in my predictions.
No, right
so we
now,
can have some fun.
I want to just keep it clean.
Okay.
1 point for series, 1 point
you're
for games.
You just outvoted.
Yeah.
Simmer and I are voting for double points, so
okay,
you're outvoted.
Okay, so second round. So we're increasing the second round as well,
No, no, we're halfway through the tournament, the Pico Pizza Cup tournament, and right now we're doubling the points, and if necessary, we'll double them again.
Let's also review round one, Hammer. There is no contest
round
in the
world. Round one is always 1 point because it has the most
series.
There
is no contest in the world that if you go 8-for-8, that there wouldn't be 10 bonus points for sure.
I'm sorry, do they award championships after the first round of the playoffs? Is that what is done typically?
But
like
they do
said,
not.
But you can also lose a championship, JR.
Which I have
done.
Okay.
I'm exactly placed where I want to be.
Anyways, 2 points for the pick and 2 points for if you get the games right.
Correct. All right, Simmer, you're going to go first. Let's start with Tampa Bay and the New York Islanders. Who do you like in this series?
You know what? I'm going to go Tampa Bay, and I will go in... I'll go 7. I'll go 7 games.
That noise exactly.
No, because I'm feeling 6, but I think that barn is so hard to win in the island. So I'll go Tampa in 7.
Tampa in 7. Okay, Hammer, you are second. So in second place, so you will go second in this.
Yeah, I agree with Simmer and that it's going to be Tampa Bay. But again, I think Tampa is rolling here. They're on fire. I don't see this being a very long series. I am going Tampa in 5 again.
Tampa in 5 again.
Oh, hang on. Tampa in 5.
Okay. That leads me to ride the Islander train. I'm in Trotsyville and riding J.G. Pageau. I'll take the Islanders in six games.
Wow.
I think the Lightning will be tired from their long run last year.
Yeah. All the boat parties and everything else. Getting tired. They're all jet skiing right now on their days. They jet ski probably to the rink. So
exactly.
It gets a little tiring after a while.
I'm the only one with the Islanders.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the other series, of course, is Vegas in Montreal. Simmer, what do you like there?
You know what? I'm going to, and again, not just say, I'm going to have some fun. And I said boldly in the Toronto series, I'm going Habs in six. I don't think, and again, I'm having some fun. I don't think this is a blowout that people are anticipating. I think Montreal will handle the forecheck. I know that Vegas is a good team, but if you start to break down their lineup and their center ice, they're led by Mark Stone. I think Montreal's in a real good spot right now. Edge on goaltending, as long as the power play with Caulfield ends up being better. So on home ice, going to the Stanley Cup final, are my Montreal Canadiens in six games.
Montreal in six games? Wow. Okay, yeah. Hammer.
Why aren't you going next?
Okay, I'll go next. I'm taking Vegas. I'm taking Vegas in this series, and I am going to go in... I'm going to go Vegas in... They've won four in a row. Yeah. Montreal's won seven in a row.
Wow. Yeah, wow.
Okay, I'm going to go Vegas in seven before you make up your mind because I don't want to be a copycat.
Yeah, I was going to go five or six. So I'm going to say Vegas is going to win it in Montreal. So I'll say Vegas in six.
Okay.
And you got Vegas in seven?
I have Vegas in seven. Yeah, I think this is going to be a very good series. I think the Canadians can hang in. Yeah. And but I think
they're playing well enough defensively that it shouldn't be a blowout.
And they're increasing. I think this is going to be a strict homer series.
I think
every home team is going to win their games.
Yeah, be interesting, guys. It's and the part I'm kind of looking at JR and Hammer thinking is that when I watch Vegas, and again, most of this is off of highlights, but this wasn't necessarily off the rush and controlling the puck. So much of what they were able to generate was the chaos off the forecheck, right? They were very opportunistic, and I think Montreal's big four on the back end and the way they play along the wall, I don't know if they're going to generate that. So, as I said, when you go through and you look at the list of, respectful of Stone to Marchessault to a few other guys, but this is not a star-studded group. They're a real nice hockey team. And I'm also going to take a little psychology. I would love to, if anybody's listening out there, like it's Price versus Fleury. I would take Price, although Fleury's playing some great goal, but I wonder, within that kind of back and forth historically, I wonder what that's been. And last year, well, that wouldn't have been it. In the play-in, Carey Price would have faced, was that Matt Murray, or who the hell would have been playing for Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, tweets have come in regarding, who you're cheering for or against at this point. Cole writes, anyone but Vegas. I'm kind of there as well, even though I picked.
Yeah, there are a lot of people, AJR, that feel that.
I guess it's a hockey fan thing. Not sure why. I don't enjoy other people. I need the hockey fans of Vegas to experience pain. Now, they had the Game 7 meltdown a couple of years ago. That was very good pain, but that's very early on in their painful existence.
Yeah, that's
right?
Not real. Like, you don't even, the guy that walks home from the rink in Vegas, he kind of says to his, does that mean we're out of the playoffs?
Yes.
Like, they don't even know, right? You kind of wake up the next day, I'm like, there's not another
game. Is there a consolation round or anything like that?
Like, can we kind of filter back into the play-in?
It's the final, they've made the final four 3 out of 4 years now, Vegas, right? Because they made the final four last year as well, lost to Dallas.
Oh, that's incredible.
Right?
Yeah.
Like there's too much good news in Vegas, I don't like it. I'm not going to stand for it. So I'm with you, Cole, on that one. Anybody but Vegas, even though I picked them.
I'll give you a little insider tip, big guy, as well. People in the National Hockey League despise the Vegas Golden Knights.
Because they schooled them in the expansion draft?
Well, there's that a little bit, but there's also a real, when you talk to people, there's some kind of wondering how the whole Pietrangelo thing went down last year.
Shenanigans?
But there's also a real arrogant side to it, and it's not involving George McPhee, it's involving McCrimmon. There is last
smartest guys in the room kind of
well,
thing?
Well, very much so. And here's what's interesting, JR, and it's a little bit foolish. They last year were offering Marc-Andre Fleury for a second round pick and picking up salary. And a lot of teams said, no, we're not going to help you out, which ended up now being a stupid move. but nobody in the NHL. So hey, there's that real feeling within the industry itself of these guys think they're smarter than everybody else, which unfortunately they've actually proven to be. So
Until they win the championship.
Well, no, but in the
they've done well. No doubt about that.
But in the building of the team, like, and I do feel sorry for Seattle because I don't care. This JR, like what they've done. I mean, we're sitting here in Ottawa and talking about a proper rebuild, and we're talking 7, 8, 9 years to maybe get to where Vegas has been at the last 4 years.
Yep.
Like, think of, like, Colorado has been building since Rome fell, and they're looking in Vegas down the road. It's I have nothing but respect for what they've done.
Cooley Lilac tweets, as a Sens fan, I'm cheering for Mark Stone. Expect to get a lot of those as well.
Oh,
Mark's
God,
incredibly popular.
Oh,
and
it'll be fun.
It'll
be fun to watch him. Yeah,
it'll
be fun to watch him play against Montreal. And like you said, with Pajot, I mean, I don't know. I mean, for two players, and it was back and forth, maybe because how good the teams were. But when I think back to Alfie and Spets and a number of players here in Ottawa, even Carlson, there was certainly love for them. There was also hate. Like, is there anybody in the Ottawa market that ever disliked Stone and Pajot?
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
zero.
And that's hard for a player, right? I mean, especially Stone, where you're a good player. Like, you don't generally have that. Where...
Fans love anybody that first of all, good player, but secondly, shows emotion. Feels like they're invested. And there are no two players that have played here in Ottawa.
Yeah.
I'll say,
yeah.
And we'll take it to the 2017 run, the most recent one, right?
Yeah.
Well, the last one. Of two more players that were more invested than those two guys.
Yeah.
Fans, rightfully so. I love it too. Fans love that.
And you know the other great part for them, JR, is that neither being a high pick, right? So there was never the first 3 or 4 years of, oh my God, this Stone can't skate. He's a first round pick. Or, oh my God, why would you draft Pajot as a smaller player, right? These are both feel good stories. So I think that certainly is a nice factor where there wasn't the pressure on these guys. They were able to come along and develop properly and turn into real good NHL players.
Tracy writes, I like all four teams. I will cheer for the Habs individually. I like Stone, Pajot, and Caulfield because I love their energy and Carey Price between the pipes.
Yeah,
it comes from Tracy.
Yeah, Tracy, I'll be honest with you. That Caulfield fella, and I was kind of not critical of his World Junior wandering out of college there. I got a bit of a man crush on him as well. When he steps on the ice, there's just a really fun electricity that, we saw when Brady Tkachuk came here. You see with Stützle, other young players, but there is something about him, man, and he's smiling and zipping the puck around, and it'd be fun to watch him play against Vegas. He also feels like one of those young American kids that doesn't care where you're playing or the spotlight or anything else, that he's going to have a blast playing in the pressure of the semifinal.
Jim writes, I'm cheering for the Islanders. I've got too many friends that are Islander fans who would like to see that barn go out the right way. Plus, what's not to love about the team? And they've got, actually, I don't know what that, they've got former Devils on their team, too. So I don't know. I guess if Jim is that would be Palmieri, of course. And I guess to a lesser extent, Zajac and Andy Green. Andy Green's still playing, right? Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess Jim is a Devils fan. So there we go. I've never met a person that says, I've got a lot of friends that are Islander fans.
Yeah, that's...
Unless they were fans of the 80s Islanders.
Well, yeah.
And have gone underground for the last 30 years.
Good old Jaybird listening all the time. Denny Pott fan's good buddy.
Yeah,
so.
He was Devils fan, though, right?
Oh, Jaybird was?
I thought so.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. That's interesting.
Let's take a break. 7:30. When we come back, we'll tell you how Vegas has qualified for the Final Four, and we'll do a little post-mortem on the Colorado Avalanche, who have, as the President's Trophy winners, I think, thought that this spot should be theirs. Not going home licking your wounds and wondering, what do we need to do to get over the hump with the amount of talent that we have? So we'll chat about that and take a trip around the world of sports as we look ahead to a busy weekend. It is 7:30. We're glad you're with us here on Sports Radio, TSN 1200. Friday morning. It'll be a fairly cloudy day, it looks like, depending on where you live in the city. You may have actually had an unexpected shower overnight, which is welcome because... according to Ottawa weather records, we're at about 2/3 of the normal total of precipitation for the entire spring. So we're talking since the middle of March, and with only 10 days left or so until we officially ring in summer. So a couple of days of rain wouldn't hurt. And so we had a little overnight. Maybe on Sunday, they're calling for showers, potentially Monday as well.
How's the pond at the course looking?
Oh, it's the lowest I've ever seen it. Now they're pulling out water like crazy to water the golf course, so it's nice and green.
Yeah.
Is
your groundkeeper one of the guys I've heard is drilling into the Earth's core to actually get water?
Not that I know of.
Okay. Why? I'm joking. That's what they were doing in California. They ran out of water so much, GR, that they had people that were literally drilling into, I don't know if they actually went through to the other side into China or something, but she's a little on the dry side. They had these crazy drills that were going actually through the Earth's crust to get a little bit of water.
Do they not in California? So they have water bans all the time in California, right? Yeah. So there's such a shortage. They actually have like bylaw people who fly over people's backyards to see who essentially is...
who has green grass.
Yes, exactly.
And they got to figure out now which one is turf, because some of that turf looks real.
Yes.
Then you roll into Palm Springs and you realize, you know what, maybe these people are not under the same laws of the rest of California. The thing is plush. Like, it's like those golf courses, if you ever played out in Arizona, you're like, okay, all there is a desert. And you're like, man, this is pretty impressive that there's a golf course laying on top of a desert that is the most beautiful green you've ever seen. The old ping course in Arizona, in Phoenix, is like that.
On my strolls in Barrhaven, I am seeing more and more turf, and I've got to applaud the fine people of Barrhaven.
You love the turf,
good.
Eh?
I love the turf. It is looking good.
You know, the next thing,
right?
You know, the next thing, because fake grass, and in Barrhaven where there are no trees, fake trees. It's got to be the next thing, right?
Oh,
what about fake trees?
Buddy of mine had
business opportunity. Trademark.
Wow.
Anybody that's out there developing a fake tree look, like I'm talking good solid 50-footer.
You got to cast the shadow. You got to have a nice shade.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm in. It's my idea.
I like it.
25%
all made from
revenues.
Recyclable materials.
Oh, hammer. Good call.
Old running shoes.
And one of the worst trees, I think, for your yard or for your area is a weeping willow because of the root system. I love a strong weeping willow, whether it's on the golf course, JR. Do you guys have any in Canada?
Yes.
Aren't they the most gorgeous?
There's one right beside the first hole.
Okay, the Hunt Club has some gorgeous ones. They got a mix of all.
What do you mean about the root system of the weeping willow in particular?
It's supposed to be fairly extensive, so generally you don't
Can get into the old pipes?
Yeah, you don't see those in neighborhoods. They're kind of out rural, so they suck up. They go all over, wrap around your basement. Also, a buddy of mine had some fake flowers, which they've come a long ways as well. When you see the root part or the stem part at times, you're kind of like, okay, but flowers themselves, not bad. And the grass hammer, are you kind of looking twice to wonder not if it's real?
Exactly. Yeah. No,
which,
you're walking
which
up.
The original one was just got, like the people that did originally 15 years ago, you'd be like, you got to be kidding. Like there has to be a law against putting that stuff down.
It's just a rug.
Yeah.
Rug
now the only funny part now, I guess, is in the wintertime when it's as green as can be. Like next door at the Courtyard Marriott, do you ever walk by there in the wintertime?
Because
they've got the fake grass everywhere. So you always could do like a double take of, wow, that's pretty interesting that they're still green as can be, like middle of the summer.
Looks great.
Tom writes that he is a lifelong Islander fan, so that's who he's cheering for. He said since 1975.
Sure.
Wow. Old school.
Coming out of the woodwork here, sneaking
Tom,
out of the caves.
You got your four championships from the 1980s, my friend. Yeah. Let's not get greedy go-forgets
here. No, but 46 years as a fan, JR, and would you agree that since probably from around the time they beat my Caps in 87, I'm going to go 33 years of El Stinko.
They won a playoff round for, I don't know how
long
it was.
93, they were finally on the rise. That was the year, of course.
Boston semis to Montreal.
Yeah, and what was funny about that year, JR, is that they had the one of the biggest upsets of all time against Pittsburgh. Pierre Turgeon was out of that whole series, actually returned to play in the Montreal series, and they lost. But they were finally in the right direction, and then Mike Milbury was introduced into town, and since then, it's been chaos on the island.
Bill writes, the pure emotion from Mark Stone is addictive to his teammates and to the fans. So go Vegas. And from Rib, for the love of everything good, please stop calling it the Final Four, JR. It's not college basketball. So there we go, 7:41. Yeah. You know who's into the Final Four, Rib? The Vegas Golden Knights.
10 seconds to go. Collision far corner. Puck out high for a shot. Deflected in front to the near side. 5 seconds to go. Right wing shot blocked by Holden. 2-1. It's over. Vegas wins the series. 6-3. The final score in game 6. The Knights knock out the Avalanche with 4 straight wins.
That seemed to be a bit of an over-the-top final 10-second call for when you're up by 3 goals.
Yeah.
Okay, this is not a... That, like, that's a
jacked up.
That's a description level of, we're up by one goal. They've got us hemmed in. Oh my God, are they going to tie the game here in the dying seconds? Yeah. Not. We've had this thing wrapped up for the last 2 minutes since we scored into an empty net.
Yeah.
But it's Vegas. Yeah. Everything is over the top.
Yeah, though. He's going a little bit Al Michaels miracle, eh? You know,
that's a round two game six win is, you got to pick your spots.
Yeah, but hey, they're pumped. And think of, and I'm trying to, I hope I'm accurate in saying JR, since they lost to the Caps in the finals, to have now added Stone, added Pietrangelo. Am I missing any other keys? Old Patches wasn't there as well, right? Patches came after.
2 years ago?
Yeah, because Patches came that summer, right? So, hey, they've added some pretty good players here for a matchup, and like I say, it's, well, I do wonder on the other side, like, are they going to go forever of just picking up good players and free agency and trades? Like, at some point they're
Well,
at some point they're going to have to actually go into to expansion mode, right? Like they don't even have a, do they have a single even real notable draft pick that's in their lineup doing anything?
I don't think so.
Yeah, no. That's incredible,
right? You're talking about the amateur draft, you're talking about, not the expansion draft.
No, of course. Yeah. I mean, they got lots, and, you know, no, it's a really, really, and I'm from a Seattle perspective, you know, I wonder what direction they end up going. My prediction is the long, you know, long haul through the draft, but maybe augmented by a little free agency early on.
Winning goal last night came late in the second period, like 18 seconds left in the second period. So a backbreaker for the Avalanche. It put Vegas up 4-3. It was scored by Alex Pietrangelo. Happy to wrap up the series at home.
Well, I don't think any of us wanted to go play in altitude again. I'll tell you that. That was enough of that. That's it's a tough building to play in. They get their matchups. We don't. And it's always harder playing on the road, especially in that rink. It's a tough building to play in. But obviously, we did a job tonight. We don't have to go back there.
There you go. There's Alex Pietrangelo, the assistant captain in Vegas, who Pete DeBoer, the Vegas coach, called the best player in the series on both teams. Yeah, he was a key free agent signing this past year, of course, out of St. Louis. Big money, but for the here and now, certainly has delivered so far.
Well, he's one of the best defensemen in the National Hockey League, JR. Maybe not the flash and dash, but he's stable, he's a big body, he's a winner, he's just a hell of a player. And type of player, when you look at St. Louis from losing him and Bomeister, and all of a sudden you end up bringing in different guys to replace them, bringing in the Krugs of the world, and I'm blanking on the other defensemen they brought in, Scandella and I think one other. Just not the same hockey team, not the same pedigree. And I think if they had a do-over, St. Louis Blues would have made him a lifer, made him a captain, and retired his number at the end of the day. So, been a great addition for Vegas.
Vegas moves on. Colorado President's Trophy winners are done in round two for the second straight year. This was the year in which it looked like, I don't want to say their best opportunity. They still have some great players, but in terms of the way it's all going to work with the salary cap, this may have been their best opportunity. Here is Nate MacKinnon about the another season coming to an all-too-early end.
It's always next year. It's all we talk about. I feel like, I mean, I'm going in my ninth year next year and I haven't won, so I'm just definitely motivated, and I'm just, yeah, it just sucks, you know, losing four in a row.
There you go. Now, Nathan MacKinnon, just finishing up his eighth year in Colorado. There was that year they had 48 points, right? One of the historically bad seasons in the history of hockey was not that long ago. And then they had the huge turnaround that one year. And I don't say slowly, but surely it's been, but that the whatever that rebuild, whatever you want to call it, that's been going on under Joe Sakic, all of a sudden just took flight the last couple of seasons.
Yeah.
They have leapt to the top of the standings, but unfortunately, have not been able to get it done in the most important time, and that's the playoffs. And you wonder if there will be, not a reckoning, but you wonder if they're going to take a long, hard look at their team, the way it's built, and even though they have a lot of real talented players, of whether it is the right mix of players in Colorado.
Yeah, and this is JR, and again, I didn't think it would happen. You would point to Nazem Kadri, and I'm not moving him along, JR, but this is another clinching game. I mean, has there ever been a player in the National Hockey League that three times has basically served out a suspension to the point of his team being eliminated?
Never.
Without a fat.
There ever been a guy that's been suspended three times in the playoffs before?
Oh,
probably
God,
not.
Not of any note. But they could have used him in a series like this as a normal player, which he normally is. Could have been very effective. When I'm going to look at a critique of their team, I look up front and I look where Grubauer's at. I think the question you'd ask, a combination of Makar, who's not the biggest guy in the world, but he's elite, but can you, with Gerard and Taves and some of those smaller guys on the back end, JR, can you survive that in a long National Hockey League? I think if I was going to look at their group and critique one thing, that would be off of a forecheck. I think history tells us that's really tough to survive unless you flat out possess the puck all the time.
Sammy Girard, who is a very small, like a Eric Brandstrom size defenseman, but an elite skater, puck mover, all those things that you like, did not have a very good series at all. And you know, you don't want to take one isolated series and say that's what that guy's all about. He's never going to change, or you're never going to win with him, or whatever. But it is an interesting. I don't want to say that Brandstrom's comparable. I don't know that Brandstrom's at that level, but that's an interesting case study in the idea of, because Ottawa's sitting here now with Brandstrom and for the here and now for Mete, of smallish defensemen. And can you win 16 games in the playoffs by having two of those guys? Yeah. It's we're hard pressed to think that that's going to happen, right? Even one of them now, based on what we've seen, when you're that small, is going to struggle.
Yeah, very much so. And I'll use Krug as an example, JR. There was a point with him I kind of wondered. Now, he brought his competition level way up. Part of that, I think, was being a competitive guy. Part of it was to get paid. Okay, a one-off. But no, I think having multiple guys like this. And then the other phase, I'll go back to Kimmo Tiiminen, or you brought up Brian Rafalski. Well, the real difference with those guys, JR, as good as they were, they technically, and even Johnny Oduya, they were brought as defenders, right? They weren't brought as offensive players. They were finding a way as smaller players to be elite defenders. So if your major pedigree is to be offensive, like I think Gerard Makar is, I don't think you can afford to have two of those guys in the back end, because the forecheck, and you know, you can take a hit to make a play a couple of times, a few times, JR, but there's a certain point with the human element where you also start to say, okay, even watch Quinn Hughes play, and it's like, okay, I can't do this all the time. Like, I'm not stupid either. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I want to win, but I'm not going to get railed every time I step on the ice, and you start to get a little bit timid, and I really thought that they had them on their heels, did Vegas, on their forecheck against Colorado.
So as it sits right now, Colorado goes into this offseason with almost $62 million committed to next year's team. And here are their free agents, both unrestricted and restricted. So guys to be signed, again, with only about $20 million to spend. We'll start in net, Philip Grubauer, who did not have a very good game last night. Yeah, Five goals on 22 shots, but is a Vezina Trophy finalist. His season was excellent. His playoffs, I thought, were pretty good, but not a great game last night. But
the last four games' numbers weren't great.
He is an unrestricted free agent. Also, unrestricted free agent, the biggest one would be their captain. Gabriel Landeskog is unrestricted. Brandon Saad, who they brought over from Chicago and is a good player, is an unrestricted free agent. And maybe the biggest one, the guy who's probably going to end up with potentially the biggest payday of all of them, he's a restricted free agent, is defenseman Cale Makar. Who, if he wants to, and the Avalanche want to, is going to hit the jackpot money-wise. So we're talking about, you know, your number one goalie, Vezina Trophy finalist. We're talking about a Norris Trophy finalist. We're talking about your team captain. And in Brandon Saad, a very, very serviceable forward. Those four guys are all free agents and need new contracts, and they've only got $20 million to work with.
Yeah, not easy. And in the case of Grubauer, a little bit older, JR, so what do the market look like now? I don't want to look past him, because when you're up for a Vezina Trophy, you're a very good goaltender. But people that watched the World Junior a couple of years ago, Eustace Annunen, the kid that played really well up until the meltdown against Canada in the World Junior in the Czech, he's just a first-year pro, 21 years old. So realistically, to the point of, if you're trying to turn the page to guys on lesser contracts in some of these positions or what coming through the system, you know what, he's probably at least a couple of years away before you can end up doing something like that. So probably going to have to re-sign Grubauer, and they certainly, I mean, God, it wasn't that long ago that they had Varlamov, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they made that trade with Washington and moved him along, brought in Grubauer, and they've been good. And I would re-sign Grubauer. I don't think that's their issue right now. I think their issue is maybe just getting a little bit bigger on the back end.
Yeah, so it'll be an interesting summer for Joe Sakic and company, whether they decide to do again, I don't know what the proper word is, but if they are going to move some of their signed players out and try to remake their team, might be the right just to make it just have a different look, because this is now 2 years in a row. And I think even when It was Dallas that beat them last year in the playoffs, right? In game seven in overtime.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, this is and Dallas, big strong team. Vegas, big strong team. Of whether they are big enough and strong enough right now. Colorado, it's two straight playoffs in which they haven't been able to overcome that.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you'll look at size, and certainly size matters, but is also a compete level. Is there an issue with some of your higher end players up front? And I don't have the answer to that, but I would say for this, and this is even back to last year, we applauded Hudobin, and they played very well. Colorado now in stretches. What would I guess I'd be a bit fearful of, JR, after game two halfway through. You know, there was a long stretch where they got thoroughly outplayed by Vegas. So, you know, when you have close series and you're dominating and you're doing all the right things, but you lose, you say, okay. But when you start to get dominated, they were by Vegas, which was a lot of the physicality, which took over the puck possession. Yeah, I think you probably have to look at this. No need to blow it up, but are there a few subtle moves you can make just to improve yourself a little bit size-wise?
The other thing that Colorado is going to face, like a lot of teams, but they'll be one of the top three or four teams in terms of likely to lose a decently impactful player because of the expansion draft.
Great
point, they are going to have protection issues in Colorado. They could potentially lose like Ryan Graves, their defenseman, who's fairly unheralded. I think they ended up being the top plus minus guy in the entire NHL. They're pretty darn close. Like, he's a very effective player, but they probably aren't going to be able to protect him when it's all said and done. And so that would be, and again, I've talked about this a million times with Pierre Dorion, Ottawa doesn't have protection issues per se. There is going to be an opportunity to acquire a player or a couple of players from teams that have have protection issues and to move along an asset, be it a draft pick or a prospect, to one of those teams so they get something for them as opposed to losing them to Seattle for nothing.
Yeah, without a doubt. And again, when you mention Graves, a small sample size, whenever I've watched him, JR, there is no doubt there are a number of teams in the National Hockey League that he's a better player. And also from a Colorado standpoint, well, I can get something for the asset versus losing it for free. My spidey senses feel like they're going to do something with Girard. That's just my gut feeling that, you know, you'd look at that and also say, hey, for teams that do have size, and don't look any further than the Montreal Canadiens, who still need that type of player, yeah, I think there'll be some moves here before they give one of these guys to Seattle, because you go through that group, and even on Graves, like you said, I mean, my God, here in Ottawa, I think he'd be a terrific fit for the Sens.
Unsigned is texted in at 12-1200 with the biggest Vegas pick that's having an impact. Draft pick you're talking about?
Yeah.
Nick Suzuki. Yeah, unfortunately not doing it for Vegas, but good point by Unsigned.
No, and then, you know, when you can get into, and you know, when you want to talk about trades that are made, and to some extent, not that it's worked in Montreal with Durant, but they did draft Sergachev to make a trade. You know, you'd argue, hey, how is Pacioretty versus Suzuki? You were able to get the player. You could also argue in drafting, hey, you got Brännström in a second round pick for an all-star in Mark Stone. So at least at the time, they were highly coveted assets, and also the player they said was an untouchable. Mr. Glass has not made that much of an impact in Vegas.
Yeah, not yet. Yeah, for sure.
And their center ice isn't all that strong either.
No. Chandler Stevenson is their number. Well, the guy playing with Stone and Pacioretty right now, right?
Yeah.
Noah has texted in to 12-1200. I'd like to serve up a Boudreaux versus Roy wrench to Hammer for still, after all these years, not realizing that the will that behind JR manipulating the rules to give him a self advantage. Regarding that. Yeah,
that's incredible.
That is on you at the end of the day.
Oh, my goodness. The coaches, they're pointing at each other and shouting. And Waugh pushes the glass over. Oh, my goodness. The Ducks are pushing it back.
No manipulation of rules going on there.
Absolutely, there is.
The rules are, as they always should be, they should evolve like we as humans evolve.
each round.
And also, I want to throw a wrench at Noah, because Hammer is in full awareness that the rules are being manipulated. We just don't have any choice but to do what JR tells us.
It's a kick in the balls for us.
Unsigned, right? I'd like to throw a wrench to forgetting about the half tub of yogurt that's been at the back of my fridge for the last 2 months.
Come on, Nancy. Put it right down the alley.
What are you, nuts?
All right, there we go. Keep the wrenches coming. There's your template. You can text us at 12-1200. Standard messaging rate supply. You can tweet at us at TSN1200. More wrenches as we continue with the rest of the show. But up next, if you would like to play our TSN1200 $1,000 minute and look for the opportunity to win $1,000 in cash, text me right now at 12-1200. Standard messaging rate supply. We'll take lucky texter number We'll go with 87, Nate MacKinnon times 3. Texter number 87. I guess that would just be Sidney Crosby. That might be the easiest way to do it. 12-1200, Texter number 87. We'll play All I Need Is Your Name. We'll play for $1,000 next on TSN 1200. It's pretty quick math by me.
TSN 1200's $1,000 Minute.
All right, 8 o'clock on the dot. Let's welcome our contestant this morning, and that would be none other than Daryl. How are you doing this morning, Daryl?
Good morning. Very well. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. What do you got planned for the weekend?
Not much right now. Got to go for an ultrasound tomorrow morning, but after that, I'm on God's good humor.
Okay. All right. All good. How'd you like to go into the weekend with all these open plans with $1,000 in your pocket?
That'd be fantastic, but the home version has not gone well.
Oh, okay. Well, setting the bar very low, Daryl. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
I know.
You got nowhere to go but up, right?
I'd like you to do the contest. I want you to do the contest while you're getting the ultrasound done. That's pressure.
Okay, Daryl, here's the way it works. I got 10 questions. You've got 60 seconds. If you go 10 for 10, you are going to pocket that $1,000. We'll give you $10 per correct answer. Here are the very simple rules. I need all of your answers in by the 60-second buzzer. I need to accept your first full, complete answer. If you want to, you can pass on a question. We'll circle back to it if we have time. Okay?
Gotcha.
Yep. All right. All set?
Yep.
Okay. Bar is set low, even in Daryl's mind. We've got high hopes. We wish you good luck. Daryl, we're going to start in 3, 2, 1, go. Of the teams left in the NHL playoffs, name the one that's never won the Cup.
Pass.
Which was the last team to win back-to-back Cups, the Hawks or the Penguins?
Penguins.
True or false, France won soccer's last World Cup?
False.
How many times has Connor McDavid won the Hart Trophy, once or twice?
Once.
Name either team the Habs played in the playoff bubble last summer.
Pass.
What team did Joe Montana play with other than the Niners?
Chiefs.
Where did Nazem Kadri play before Colorado?
Toronto.
Who coached the Habs to their last Stanley Cup win, Jacques Demers or Pat Burns?
Jacques Demers.
Geographically, what is the furthest eastern team in the CFL?
Eastern team. Montreal.
What team did the Sens trade Robin? Oh, okay.
No.
All right. Okay. Well, actually, you were right, Daryl. Home version didn't go very well. That version, you know, well, let's review. Let's review of the teams left in the playoffs. Name the one that's never won the Cup. That would be Vegas. Vegas would be the answer there. Which was the last team to win back-to-back Cups, the Hawks or the Penguins? Pittsburgh, you got that one right, true or false? France won soccer's last World Cup. They did, that is true, 2018. How many times has Connor McDavid won the Hart Trophy? Once. Name either team the Habs played in last year's bubble. Pittsburgh and Philly were the two answers there. I think you got that one. Yeah, you passed on that one, right? Yep.
Yeah.
What team did Joe Montana play with other than the Niners? Nice, it took you a bit, but Chiefs is correct. Nazem Kadri played in Toronto before Colorado. Who coached the Habs their last Cup win? That would be Jacques Demers. You got that one right. Geographically, the furthest eastern team in the CFL. It took you a bit there. You got Montreal, which didn't allow us to get to the last question, which means I can save it for Monday because I'm always looking for questions. What have we got for him, Hammer?
Well, out of the questions he answered,
yes,
he got 6 out of 7, so $60.
Hey, not bad. $60, Daryl.
Yeah.
Celebrate, hopefully, a good ultrasound tomorrow with $60 in your pocket for the weekend. So,
well, we'll actually add up and get ourselves a couple of pints there and enjoy the weekend.
There you go. Absolutely perfect. Listen, good luck with everything going on tomorrow and enjoy the 60. Our thanks for playing the game and have a wonderful weekend.
No, thanks. You too, guys. Take it easy.
All right. Hang on the line. We'll get you some more information. There we go. We'll do it again starting on Monday. Another unsuccessful week as far as the $1,000. Simmer, how'd you do in our 9 questions?
You know what? I would have got all of them, JR, but I say that every day. I have the ability to sit back and kind of reflect and think, and there were a few there that throw you for a bit of a stumble there, which I kind of was expecting from his side. But, yeah, I get confused by the multiple choice questions, as I'm sure most other people do. Hey?
Well, that's why I offer them as multiple choice to narrow the odds for people.
I know. And then I'm not a big soccer guy, but I would have thought he could land on that one. Majority of people realize that was France.
That was a 50-50.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take a break. Get you the latest news from 580 CFRA. We'll run down the scoreboard for you, including how Vegas is now through to the NHL semifinals. They'll take on Montreal. We'll talk about it all with Pierre Maguire when we come back here on a Friday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.